Weekend Breakfast with Refil Mpakanyane.
Time to say good morning to our resident clinical psychologist, Kosi Giane. And my goodness, Kosi, you have chosen a banger of a topic this morning. Hi.
Yes, good morning it is.
Yeah, because, you know, divorce is a reality for so many families and for so many people.
Indeed.
And the eventualities of finding yourself in a blended environment, I guess, is almost inevitable, right? And blending a family, nurturing a new sibling, nurturing new sibling relationships is not a simple task. I think we often just focus on the step-parent, step-child relationship without focusing enough on these siblings that, you know, are eyeing each other warily across the dining room table.
Absolutely.
And thinking, who is this person that I now share my mom with?
My parents. Who is, exactly.
Yes, who's this person that I now have to share my dad with?
Yes.
What a challenge. And my goodness.
Indeed. I mean, if you think about it, you know, sibling rivalry is hard enough with people, you know, siblings of the same parents. That rivalry, that jealousy is there. So it gets so much more compounded when it's obviously a stranger. Like, who are you? Why are you here? You know, and as you say, are eyeing each other, you know, with suspicion, like, you know, it's your parents, it's your mother, it's your father that did this kind of thing, you know, and not knowing what to do with each other.
Sure.
Where do I place you? Do I welcome you? And if I do so, does it seem like I'm betraying my previous family? You know, what does it all mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, it, as you said, there's so much of this. So much of this is also informed by what happened previously, right? So, how did the two sets of parents get together? Is it a betrayal of the other parent because this one was involved with your mom whilst your mom was married?
Yes.
That can get tricky. Yep. And never mind then the relationship with the new parent's children. But you know, when I guess the question is, let's like this, how should parents or adults in a relationship looking to either move in together or get married, how should they actually introduce these new siblings or these potential siblings?
Yeah, I think, you know, very often the adults are so consumed with what's going on between them.
Yeah.
And especially if there's all feelings between them, there's still anger, there's still betrayal, there's still trust issues and so on. And perhaps financial, you know, tussles between them still going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it really, you know, makes for a very tricky relationship with moving on, in terms of moving on and how you then bring that up. And so I think that the best way is for parents to recognize the fact that the children have not made the choice that they made.
Mm-hmm.
The children have to live with a decision that the parents have made, and to be so much more sensitive to where a child is than where they think the child should be.
Yeah.
And move at the child's pace rather than their own pace. So it doesn't automatically mean it's just because you've moved on and you've attached to this person that your child is necessarily ready to do so.
Yeah.
So it takes a conscious and deliberate relationship with your child, you know, to give them the space and test the waters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before you introduce anybody, make it as a discussion. Find a way to just have a discussion about it and see where they are.
Yeah. And once you've done that, Kosi, and you've gauged where they are, you've had a discussion with them, and the child is willing or seemingly is on board. Of course, there's a difference between understanding intellectually what it is that you're getting into, and there's a difference between how you feel once you find yourself in that situation.
Yeah. The reality.
Yeah, the reality of it. How do
you... It doesn't always match,
Yeah, it doesn't always match your expectations, right?
Mm.
How do you maintain peace between these siblings, and how do you make sure to treat them equally, or at least to bring as close together how your stepchild was treated and or disciplined, and how your own child is treated and or disciplined? Is it a matter really that the two parents have to decide on beforehand and go, okay, guys, or even the whole family? Yeah, we used to do things differently on this side of the family. Do things differently on this side. Let's get closer together and finding a new regime of how we work
how
in this
we
house.
Want to. And recognize that we each come from our own family of origin, where we've been raised in a certain way. And so we bring that into this. And plus, the relationship that you've just ended, which has had its own dynamics. And so you need to have that a lot more conversations, because you cannot assume anything anymore.
Sure.
And so it's so much more important for parents to be conscious about the fact that they are entering a new space of relationship, and these children are now having to readjust themselves to what they are used to. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing, but it's just that the children need to be so much more prepared for it. It just cannot be taken for granted. So the parents need to be, importantly, on the same page of what do you feel? What is your parenting style? What you should do? Because the one thing that children need is structure and consistency.
Yeah. Well, we've got a question from Nomsa in Four Ways, who wants to speak to you, Kosi. Welcome to the show, Nomsa. Thanks so much for calling.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's your question?
I'd like to ask Kosi, how do you resolve a problem of siblings? The other one is very talkative, and the other one is reserved. And if the conflict, the other party involves the children, and if it's between you and your, let's say it's me and my sister, do I have to involve my kids to that instead of solving the conflict?
So let me understand you properly, Namsa. I got lost there. So you think the two siblings from a constituted family, one is reserved, the other is more extrovert.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Should you involve the partner?
Yes, I just wanted to know, do you involve your children in your conflict, or do you tell them not to get involved until you resolve your own conflict?
Are you
adults?
Are you talking about your own sibling rivalry, Nomsa?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
So
one. Okay.
I think, it always depends on the, emotional and psychological age, and not just also their chronological age.
Sure.
The ability to understand things. But for the most part, it is always best for parents to resolve siblings, as the adults. Mm-hmm. So you and your sister, in this example, to resolve your issues without involving your children. Because one of the challenges becomes that they become conflicted, and they will take sides.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
then you will find that perhaps they hold a grudge against your sister, and then over time, you and your sister as adults have resolved the issue, have moved on, but your children haven't.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the psychological and emotional maturity to process that information. So I always say, don't burden children with information that they cannot process.
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, with not only information they can't process, but a context that they actually don't have, that they don't fully understand as well, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's so key.
Absolutely.
Kosim, in the instance where you were just before we went to Nomsa, you spoke about the fact that children do need structure, right? And consistency in a blended family, in any family. But, we do have to keep in mind that it's difficult enough when you have your own biological children. You might have a favorite, or you might have one that is able to melt you with their little puppy dog eyes. And for whatever reason, you're not you're not as strict with them as you are with the other kids, for instance.
Yeah.
Is it bound to happen that, there'll be some kind of favoritism in a blended family, and you are more likely to I don't know, I have a better relationship with your biological children versus your stepchildren, and the possibility therein to create jealousy, to create conflict.
Yeah, I think it's very much more likely in that instance. And I think this is where partners need to be each other's partners and each other's eyes. Because yeah. I, as a stepmother, for example, may be sitting in my blind spot in terms of how I interact with this child. And it always becomes useful. And it is part of the relationship that this the couple has got to be sensitized to.
Sure.
And be open to feedback. You know, that if you see me being heavy-handed, it may not be my intention, but I may not see it.
Yeah.
So I you know, to always be the other person's eye, to be able to sensitize them to unconscious bias that they may be bringing into how they relate with a child that's not theirs.
Mm.
And of course, you know, people will learn each other over time, but it's not an automatic thing. And again, I go back and I'm going to say something that to sound like it contradicts what I was saying in terms of consistency. So there's also, as you say, children are not the same.
Mm-hmm.
They have different personalities, you know, different temperamentalities and so on. And so you on as much as I say you want to be consistent, they are two different people. And so, you know, you may not use the same language between the two children because, you know, they just are different people.
Mm.
So as much as you cannot be exact, but you need to be careful that you don't come across between your children as being leaning towards one more than the other. And if a child becomes sensitized to that, to be willing to have that conversation and perhaps clarify for them. And be willing to be wrong.
Absolutely.
And be willing to make a mistake and apologize. Because then it tells your child, you know, it humanizes you. We are not robots. We will make mistakes.
Yeah, speaking of not being robots, because of course that's the one place where you don't expect to have to be on your guard or to be as sort of perfect and pristine in your behavior. It's at home, right? You should be able to just let just relax and be you 100%. We know that's not necessarily the case, and I can imagine this does not make things any easier. Let's take a listen to this voice note, of course.
Greetings. I have a question regarding when blended families, the siblings from either side, start dating. How do the people handle that? Because I've observed one couple that are dating, and I think it just puts extremely wild dynamics on the family.
That is wild indeed. Khosi?
I didn't catch at the end.
The question is, how should
a couple?
Yeah, she's observed a couple in which the siblings in a blended relationship actually start dating. So it's the children who date.
Oh my goodness!
And how do you react to that?
Whoa!
Because now it feels like we're in some Bold and the Beautiful or Days of Our Lives territory. But many ways, you almost can't. I don't want to say this, but you almost can't blame the kids because they aren't family, they aren't blood, right? If they'd met out on the street somewhere, they might have, you know, been attracted to each other at any rate, but now they've been brought together by the fact that their parents.
Wow. Yes.
So heavy.
Tough one, you know. But I think that you would have to let them, you know, write it out. Because I think the more you're going to
what an unfortunate
tell
phrase.
Them to not to stop, the more they're likely to do it. I think it's going to be the most difficult thing because, I mean, I also imagine that they may say, why don't you break up and we can stay together? You know, and you would
say we came here first, so
exactly. So to the same extent that you are attracted to each other, they too are attracted to each other. And perhaps it says something about the fact that, you know, there's a similarity of taste because, you know, one of them will be your child. And so there's kind of a shared space of taste. It'd be a tricky one, but I don't think that you can necessarily, you know, insist on them not dating each other. Sure.
Kosi, I'm biting my nails just hearing you answer. I feel like it's not enough. I'm getting so anxious. Of course, what if they can't? What if it doesn't? You're hoping that it'll peter out, and these are two younger and people. And what if peter out? And, you know, they decide, okay, well, we'll get married. Officially, we're not blood. I don't know the complications.
I guess and it's the permutation of blending, you know. But I can't imagine that there's anything we can do about it except to.
Yeah, and perhaps the response in so many in some people might be to shame them into stopping what they're doing by saying that, well, you are now, you know, we're married, so that makes you siblings of some sort, at least legally, and so therefore this needs to stop. And as you say, maybe guilt tripping them into ceasing and desisting is not the way to go either. That's an incredibly tricky one.
Because then what could happen is that it'll just go underground. So they may still be doing it, but underground. So it doesn't, sure. Wouldn't want to deal with that.
That will certainly put a strain on the primary parental relationship,
possibly. And perhaps one parent doesn't mind the other. You know, and the likelihood is that the adult couple might end up breaking up because of this. It may create so much tension, that they might end up breaking up and the kids staying together. Who knows?
Yeah, my goodness. Sure. All right. In terms of then making sure that siblings in a blended family get along, we've just spoken of a case in which they got along too well. But in terms of making sure that happens, you know, do you recommend a group therapy scenario where we are all introduced to each other, made to understand where each perspective or outlook in life is, and just made to humanize or are able to better humanize or relate to each other?
You know, I wouldn't necessarily say that therapy would be your first port of call. Mm-hmm. I think as parents, you can navigate this space on your own, try and navigate the space on your own, and see how gradually how they make space for each other. Mm-hmm. But it's got to be a process. It's not going to be an event. And if you see that the one child struggles and so on, then you might want to have a separate conversation, and it may then perhaps suggest that it requires a professional assistance with it. But I think the best thing is to try and build the family yourself, and then if you struggle and if you see that the children continue to struggle with it, then maybe have a professional conversation.
Absolutely. Fantastic stuff. Thank you so much, Kosi. My goodness, this conversation has brought up a lot of interesting angles. It really has. Thanks so much. We'll chat next week, Sunday. And I guess right now would be a great opportunity to just invite listeners, if they have any specific topics they'd like us to touch on, to drop an email at rafilo@702.co.za or even just send us an SMS. 31702 is the SMS line. Kosi Jani, a pleasure as always.
As always, thank you.
All right, keep those messages coming through, and perhaps we can answer your own inquiries or topic that is close to your heart next week with Kosi Rafilo at 702.co.za.